Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And she spun out of control and killed the whole podcast. Hello and welcome to Do Go On. You are listening to the Golden Tonsils himself. That's right, it's me, Dave Warnke, and I'm joined by the lesser tonsils of Jess Perkins, my esteemed co-host, who is also co-hosted by the lesser, even lesser tonsils of Matt Stewart.
I would call my tonsils maybe like bronze.
Oh, that's good. So it's like just a silver tonsil?
Maybe rusty tonsils.
Rusty, yeah, sure.
But were you once a precious metal?
Yeah. Yeah. Does gold rust?
Yeah. No, it does not.
Rusty gold.
I've never thought about my tonsils as, you know, something to brag about. So good on you, Dave.
Thank you. Have either of you had your tonsils removed?
No, I've still got them.
Still got them.
Well, that's what brings us together here on this show.
When I do get them removed, though, I'm going to get them coated in gold.
When you do, we all have to, though.
Wearing them around my neck.
Yeah, I would like to say on this podcast that if either of you get your tonsils removed, all three of us should have to go in on the same day and have them removed in solidarity.
Agreed.
I think that's fair.
I'm okay with that.
Especially if it's me, because the golden tonsils mean a lot.
Sure.
They mean a lot.
Sure.
Do you think, because I'm assuming that you're joking when you say that.
No, I'd do it.
No, I mean when he says that he thinks he's the golden tonsils.
Oh, I see.
Do you think...
I can't tell.
I can't fully tell, but
last week I was like, oh, this is a bit of fun, and then he brought it back this time.
But I also thought he was joking when he wore that pompadour in last week, but he still got it on his head. So I don't know what's real anymore.
Pompadour, as you're referring to, is my new haircut, which has caused a bit of a storm on Twitter. That's right.
We're like a minute in, we're already piling on Dave.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
But you look great. I like
you.
Thank
you. And I also sound great with these golden tonsils.
You sure do, buddy.
That's where I actually was for those episodes I missed. I was in Europe getting surgery.
On your hair.
Enhancement.
On my hair and my tonsils. Yeah, that's right. I've had a hair transplant.
Yeah. No, what's actually happened is it's grown out a bit and you've stopped caring. Is that what's kind of happened? Or are you purposefully styling it this way? I thought you were like, this is just how my hair is.
This is how my hair is, but now I've realized that I'm actually happy with it.
I don't mean stop caring, but I mean like, you stop fighting
actually,
it.
That was much more offensive than anything you've ever said to me on the show.
I'm so sorry.
You look like you've just stopped caring.
No, I didn't mean.
Really let yourself go, mate.
I meant stopped fighting it.
Yeah, I've stopped fighting it. That's actually
But it's
true.
Great. You look great.
Thank
You're beautiful.
Thank you. And thanks for all the tweets. About the pompadour.
Hey, you guys, I just got off the phone because here at the studio's out with our sound guy, who we employ every now and then, David Ross. He's a big listener of the show. Did you know that?
Ross.
He says that as soon as it lands, he makes an excuse to whoever he's around and he goes for an hour-long walk.
No way.
No matter what the situation.
Yeah, no matter what.
Funerals, weddings, business meetings.
Seriously, like as soon as it's out.
Has he ever left a meeting with yourself, Matt, because he's realised that the episode has just hit 1 o'clock on the Wednesday?
Yeah, so like 1 p.m. Wednesday is Melbourne time. He is like, time.
Sorry, Matt, I've got to go for an hour.
Hey, that's great too, because like we're getting him out and doing some exercise.
Yeah, I feel good about
that. That's great.
Where do you listen?
Hey, thanks, Dave Ross.
Let us know. Where do you listen? And I'm actually very excited because I just realised before we started the show that I just hit record for the 50th time.
Whoa!
It's taken us a lot of takes tonight.
Woo!
But
I've gotten this close to finishing the report 49 times.
Well, we'll do it. I feel like this is the one. Yeah.
This is the one. No, we'll get through it.
50th episode.
50 episodes,
that
Matt.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. Who would have thought
like
it? Who would have thought we'd still be alive after all this time?
I feel like it'd be kind of interesting to go back and listen to the first couple because, like, while I definitely knew you both, I feel like I've definitely gotten closer to you now that we do this podcast together.
Yeah, because it was around, like, was it episode 8 when we started sharing bunk beds?
Yeah, that was probably about it.
Yeah, that was a big step.
That we were playing it kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, like a new relationship, we're like, oh, no, what do you mean? Cool, I always look this gorgeous.
Yeah,
I
never fart. I'm great.
I don't.
Dave's doing
a couple
this cute little
in.
Shoulder thing, yeah. Which is adorable.
But now,
I love it.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but I've just tried to spice up the relationship a little with this new hair.
Yeah.
But apparently I look like I've just let myself go.
No, I didn't mean it like that, even though that's kind of how I said it. But yeah. not I meant it.
The words I said were not the ones I meant.
Not what I meant. Not what I meant.
It is technically the 50th episode, but that doesn't count the 3 or 4 lost episodes that we binned before we went public and brought on our better third.
Yeah.
Which is Jess. Sorry, is Jess. They can't see you looking at me, I guess. I should say that, yes, Matt and I did try. So technically the 53rd, 54th episode, I can't remember, but then we just had to start again once we knew the power of the JP.
The power of JP. No, really, I think it's just that if you do this sort of podcast with two people, it's one person doing a report and the other going, uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like you need a third person.
You need a third person to help bring down the report.
And I just happen to be in the same city as you.
And you also have to do a report every second week.
Edits that show every second
week. No. Thirdsies, good. Much better. Yeah. Foursies, too many.
Way too many. Oh, actually, if we did have a fourth.
Once a month. You'd only have to do a report once a month.
That'd be really good. I mean, in Feb, other months you'd have to do it once in a bit a month.
Wow. Yeah,
once.
See, that's the logistics.
I'm not only a grammar Nazi, I'm also a weird month-based math Nazi.
That's okay. You said I look like an
I mean,
Eastern
Dave obviously
suburb
is
month.
An no. Aryan race.
No, no.
White power Nazi.
No, I'm not.
He's a sympathiser.
I care more about calendars than I care about the Aryan race. Let me just put that on record.
Wowzers.
Never thought I'd have to say that, but every week I have to say it somehow.
Every week you have to say something.
A few minutes in, I have to tell possibly new listeners that it is a joke that's been going on for too long now. Like, the more I fight it, I know this. It's like a nickname.
Yeah.
The more you try and avoid it, the more people want it to stick.
Exactly.
Have you been looking at the Facebook message inbox lately, Dave?
No, I avoid that.
Some fan art came through, I think, in the last week. I think it was a listener called Ali. He he photoshopped a picture of you to make it look very much like you were you're in the Third Reich.
And, oh, my God.
And then he sent a message, and then a follow-up message came a few minutes later saying, "Hi, this is Ali's dad. Just want to let you know that we don't believe in the Nazi thing. We're not into that."
So they deny that they exist.
They said we're not voting for Trump. You know, we believe in human rights. And then Ali came back and said, "Sorry about that. That was just my dad. He's a big listener too."
Does he actually listen?
Yeah, how funny is that?
Hello to Ali's dad.
The whole fam.
I feel more like I have more in common with Ali's dad than Ali, who's doing the Nazi fan art.
Nazi fart.
Matt's favourite. How do you feel like that?
Pugo Island.
Oh, I was in Newcastle over the weekend.
You were?
That's right, for the National Young Writers Festival.
How was it?
Upon Tyne?
No, not Newcastle, upon Tyne. The Newcastle here in Australia. And I met someone who I know there, who is a friend of mine, but also listens to the show, and I sort of only see them there once a year. And one of the first things he said to me was, a poo go on.
Yes!
And he thought that was so funny, which it is.
It is, Matt.
Matt, it's funny. Poo go on.
Matt, it's funny.
Look, we've had some self-indulgent starts to episodes before, but this one probably...
Hey, 50 episodes in, you were either with us or you're against us.
You've got to get nostalgic at this point, you know? Let's all go back and think about...
Way back to episode number 3 when Jess... You know, this is one of those clip show episodes where we play like clips of the episodes that, you know, a lot of people have already heard. It's not like The Simpsons 500th episode where you don't remember every little bit.
It's not like we could really do like bloopers shows because we leave all that shit in.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, we do.
We've said some dumb stuff. It has to be pretty offensive to get
that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we mean really offensive. wow. Thank God you don't hear what we cut. But anyway...
Until now,
that's
it's
right.
It's the uncut show.
This episode, I promise not to cut out anything except the times that you refer to me as a Nazi from here on out.
Interesting. Well, much like a Nazi would.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now I have to try and keep it in because I believe in free speech, even though it's denigrating my reputation.
No, you're right. It's like the more you've fought it and the more of the reaction we get out of you... means we keep going. Like if early on you'd gone, ha ha ha, I am a Nazi sympathiser. Anyway, then we probably would have stopped.
No, I feel like that could have been taken out of context. Much like I could take your voice out of context and just play that on loop. This week's episode is just laughing. Ha ha ha, I am a beep. Not going to insert it because you'll do the same to me. That's right.
Very smart.
I've got something up my sleeve here to keep you in check. All right, guys, we're going to get on with our 50th report.
It's quite fitting that it's you doing it,
I was going to say, it's only fair. You're the man who came up with the whole concept in the first place, and you always
I'm glad that's on the record
reports.
Now, so you can't kick me out and try and sell this to some sort of big TV network.
And you're
I did come up with the name, though. Remember that?
Is that true?
And Jess came up with the humour.
Aww.
Oh, that's right. Before you, Jess, it was not a comedy show.
It was a very serious show.
Oh, a little too serious.
I contribute zero knowledge, but a little bit of fun.
A bit of charm.
That'll be my my biography, I reckon. Zero knowledge, a little bit of fun.
No, it should be zero knowledge, maximum fun.
Stop it. No, but that's just not true. I wouldn't lie to people.
Oh, right, okay. Even to sell a few extra units?
Nah. I wouldn't do it. It won't bend my morals. You can't make me.
I will.
I'm only a little bit of fun.
All right, you better start referring to yourself as Maximum Fun or I'm going to take that thing out of context and make you sound like a Nazi. Matt, do you want to say something that could be taken out of context?
Yeah, do you want to say something he could blackmail you with later date?
Come on, give me some. Okay. Give me something. Give me some ammunition.
Bloody hell, I've got a big dick.
Fuck. Yeah, all right, I'll do that. And then I will...
Got him. Oh, no, it hardly fits in my pants.
If anything, it's just an inconvenience.
Big old dick of mine.
I can't think of any advantages. If I could change one thing about myself.
Smaller dick, please.
Dear God, why did you give me such a big schlong? Remember the word schlong? Bringing that one back.
Fondly, yes.
Oh, fondly. You remember the schlong fondly?
Dave,
inappropriate.
Good
mate.
Heavens.
This is a family good podcast.
Good grief.
Good grief. Jeez Louise.
Ooh. Step back, honky cat. And let me tell you a story.
He's so white.
I am very white.
No, you're a 6-foot so surfy dude.
White. So white. As I quote Elton John, that's quite a white thing to do. All right. I'm going to start the report with a question, as we always do. My question I'm posing to you is two answers. So you can both have a go at this point each, or you can try and get maximum fun or maximum points.
As you guys know, and the listeners at home also know, I'm always the best at answering the questions.
No,
nearly
you
always
just say
get
you're
them right.
Say that. Ugh. And try and brainwash us into thinking that.
Yeah, and then as soon as I get it right, you go, I was going to say that, or...
Well, I was.
Every time.
But you didn't. Yeah, all right, hit
all right.
Us.
Do you know...
The Muffin Man.
Yes, but...
That is very good.
But part two of the question. Matt, were you going to say that? You probably were, weren't you?
I was. Jess, she saw that I was going to. I just wrote it down in front of me and said, I'm about to say this word I get the chance. And then I pointed at her and said, please don't say it, Jess, because I'm about to say this. And then, classic JP.
You're a quick writer, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm a very snappy writer.
Do you know the only two diseases... that humans have completely eradicated.
Ooh.
Yes.
But you're going to let Jess answer first and then claim the point anyway.
Yes, Jess.
Two diseases we've completely eradicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturday night fever.
That's gone.
That went out in the early 70s.
And the other one.
Rock and roll killed disco.
The other one
Don't say it.
It's a pox. It's a kind of pox,
is
right?
Is it a pox?
Is it smallpox?
One of them is smallpox. Ooh, that is right.
Well done.
And the other one, which is much less commonly known, is a disease called rinderpest.
Okay, no, rinderpest. I did not know what that
is. It mainly affected animals.
Normally, Jess says it before I do. Tonight, Dave got in first. Oh, okay. I was about to say rhino pest.
Close.
It was an infestation of rhinos. They're bloody everywhere.
Yeah,
but we got those rhinos good.
they're really small rhinos that crawl on your skin.
Yeah, they're pests. Bloody pests.
And nibble on your huge dick.
Or is that just me?
Nibbling.
I had a sugary drink, and I feel pretty silly.
Yeah, we're all great. Great because we're all a bit silly.
We're
today.
One sentence in to this report. Oh, I was going to tell you that rinderpest, it mainly affected animals,
like rhinos.
Cattle and buffalo. So kind of a big animal.
Yeah, but not.
Oh,
rhinos.
Wait. So it's any disease at all? I assume they are human diseases.
Yeah, so out of any diseases...
We've only beaten two.
They're the only two.
Completely go insane. The rinderpest was gone in 2011, and smallpox, which is the topic of the episode here today...
Cool.
...was declared officially eradicated in what decade? Do you have any ideas?
1980s.
1979. Yes. Matt was about to say it. Went out with Saturday Night Fever.
79. They were like, guys, the 80s are almost here. Let's fuck this thing off.
Let's get rid of this. We do not need another pox.
No, we've got too many poxes. Don't you reckon? I think it's time for a spring clean. Let's start the 80s fresh. Let's get rid of a pox.
Chicken pox?
Nah,
no, that's too big. We need a smaller pox.
Okay.
Oh, small pox.
Tiny pox?
Oh, so close. But it was officially eradicated in 1979, or declared that. But not before killing billions with a B of people throughout history. I know that
they
a lot
killed
of...
billions with a B?
With a...
I thought they could only kill once before they lost their stinger.
What a clever little
stinger.
But
what you don't know is if you get stung on the tongue and then you pash a bunch of people.
I've pashed a billion people.
Yeah, you have.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
I've seen you on the dance floor.
Next.
Next. Hit me.
That's just a joke, everybody.
Queen Bee on the dance floor over there.
Just a joke. Just a joke.
But today's topic is smallpox and how the human race got rid of it.
Cool.
That's right. So,
I mean, it's no serial killer episode. Well, in a way.
In a way that this is like a serial killer. It's like all the serial killers in history put together would not even come close to how many people this has killed.
Okay, I'm on board then.
So if anything, it's the ultimate serial killer.
It is.
A lot of people will die in this episode. So our sicko fans, as I've started calling them, will love this.
I won't even bother having a death tally like we've done in other episodes because there'll just be too many.
Yeah, good luck.
And also, I don't have a pen nearby. But mostly that there'll be too many.
Too many. So approximately 10,000.
Approximately.
Oh, very good. She's on fire, Matt. Can you match that? Can you match that wit?
He reluctantly gave me a high five.
Approximately. Now I'm saying in the correct tone.
Yes.
10,000 years ago, the smallpox virus developed in what they think came out of northeastern Africa. So smallpox spreads through the air and it killed 1 in 3 people that got it.
Wow.
Usually within the second week of getting it. So you get it, you get sick, and then you die often pretty quickly.
Oh, no.
What's a country in northeastern Africa? We're not talking like pyramid area.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it affected Egypt.
Did it come out of maybe one of the curses?
The pharaoh. He struck again. He's literally killed billions of people, this crazy pharaoh.
He keeps popping up in our
Well, that is definitely
podcast.
In northeastern Africa. That's right.
Wow.
But over the years, the smallpox spread around a bit, but it started to gain momentum as people started traveling across the world. Obviously, you know, for a while there, we were all in smaller communities, not realizing that there are other people out there. And as soon as people started to mix, they brought smallpox with them. Smallpox pops up in medical writings from ancient India.
Wow.
And it is believed that Egyptian mummy Ramses V, who died more than 3,000 years ago, is the oldest evidence of someone dying of the disease. They think he died of the disease.
Ah, you can die from it.
That's right.
Wow, that lifts the stakes.
Yeah, that's more than bloody nibbling on your big dick.
Before that,
it was just like chicken pox, so you get some spots. You get a bit itchy, it goes away, and you never get it again.
Have you had chicken pox, both of you?
I've had it twice.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Only if you're a freak.
Yeah, freak. I had apparently I had it quite mildly when my brother had it. My brother's 7 years older than me. And then I got it. I got it in 2000 for the Sydney Olympics. Oh. And my dad was like, the whole family's driving up to Sydney. We're going to go to the Olympics. And then I got chickenpox.
Oh, and you didn't get to go.
Mum and I had to stay in Melbourne and my brother got to go to the Olympics.
I'm pretty sure we heard about this.
Yeah, I feel like I must have mentioned it.
Yeah, I think you did.
But yeah, yes, to answer your question, I have had
it. But you have had it too much?
I've got scars from it.
I had it when I was a kid. When you're meant to get it. Apparently it's much better as a kid.
Yeah.
Adult chickenpox is
fair. Because I told my girlfriend... I don't know. I think I was talking about this report and we talked about chickenpox and I was like, have you had it? And she was like, no. Like, I was weird for having it. And
no, I think it's quite common.
No, it's very common and much better to get it as a kid,
I think,
right?
That's why I'm pretty sure that my parents made me hang around this kid who had it so I'd get it out of the way.
Yeah. They have chickenpox parties.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if one kid at school or, like, even at kinder and stuff like that get it, they'll put them all together to play so they all get it out of the way. I've got a scar on my head from a chickenpox
party from when you fell over and bumped your head.
Yeah, no, I started
playing
to
pin the tail on the pox.
Yeah, after doing a yard glass of goon.
Yeah, it was a pretty good party.
Hit this old fucker up. So it got to India, they think, from Egyptians who travel there. Then it got to China and Japan. But smallpox didn't get to Europe until the 7th or 8th centuries. There were a few epidemics, but it wasn't properly deadly in Europe until the 16th century.
Proper deadly.
So then it started getting, like, out of control.
Wow.
And because Europe was conquering the world in this century, they spread the disease everywhere else. So once Europe got it, they took it everywhere.
Europe.
The Spanish brought the disease with them to Mexico and then to the rest of South America, where the local tribes who had never been exposed to the New World disease were absolutely decimated.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
This is the same time this happened also in North America, where the native people were estimated to suffer a fatality rate of 80 to 90% in some places. So it really, really hit them hard. Smallpox was also introduced in Australia in 1789.
1789? We, like, only just got here.
That's right, the year after the first fleet arrived.
The white settlers, I mean. By we. Oh, God.
Although the disease was never endemic on our continent, which means, you know, practically regularly found commonly among local people. So it was never like a crazy epidemic here, but it was the principal cause of death to our indigenous Aboriginal population between 1780 and 1870. So our local indigenous people also suffered a lot.
Wow.
Smallpox. I didn't realise it was so fucked.
It killed. Why? In Europe, smallpox was the leading cause of death in the 18th century, killing an estimated 400,000 Europeans every year.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so people are dropping all over the place. Now, I hear you asking, what happens when you get smallpox?
I never said that. Did you, Matt? No. Where are these voices he's
You were
hearing?
Thinking it. You were thinking
I actually was. I was going to ask you like what the symptoms were, and I was like, he'll get to it. I won't buy
it. I knew.
Because I hate it when I've planned to say something and then one of you asks it.
It's usually me. Let's
be honest. Shut up. No, it's usually Matt.
Matt, for me. Dirty talk.
Matt will always ask the question. I was like, I was going to get to that, you piece of shit. Yeah. But out loud, I say, great question,
it's
Matt.
It's
annoying, so fun doing this podcast with you. Let's be friends forever. But on the inside, I'm like, fuck you, Stuart, you piece of shit. I hate you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Just my good.
I'm not going to ask any more questions.
Right. You just pipe down over there, big dick.
Yourself. Yeah, you keep that big dick to yourself.
Oh, guys, please don't.
Oh no, it's damaging my reputation as the man with an average sized penis.
All right, Dave. What happens when you get smallpox?
I hear you asking. Well, there were. I keep saying there are, but it's no longer an issue. There were two clinical forms of smallpox. Variola major was the severe and most common form, and that's when you get a more extensive rash and a higher fever. And variola minor was less common, sadly, because it was much less severe, and only 1% of people died from that one. So that's the one you wanted, right?
Yeah.
But each of these early symptoms were often very flu-like, and you'd get a fever, and you'd start feeling fatigued. And as the digestive tract in your body is also commonly involved, nausea, vomiting, and backache often occur.
Wow. It just kind of seems like a flu.
Yeah. Then the virus produces...
I'm starting to feel a few symptoms.
Oh, no.
Got a bit of a backache. And I got smallpox.
On me big dick.
Looks extra small on this giant dick. Oh.
Sorry, Matt.
Sorry,
Dave,
man.
Sorry, just give me a second. I've just got to pop this smallpox.
No.
No. Even
is
I'm
that what it, is that what it is?
No.
No. Well, then a characteristic rash appears, particularly on the face, arms, and legs. Though the difference between this is how you could often tell chickenpox apart from smallpox is chickenpox is uncommon to go on the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet.
Ah.
But smallpox went everywhere, so you'd get it. Well, just imagine any everywhere. Part of your body, and it would yeah.
What part of your body are you imagining, Dave?
Your dick.
I was imagining butthole.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's
not
all, like,
nice.
Oh, no.
That's not comfortable.
It's everywhere.
And is it
right?
Itchy like chicken pox is?
I don't think, no. Well, they become clear and they fill with fluid and,
ew.
then later pus.
Ew.
Oh, no.
And then they form a crusty layer, which are eventually, if you survive, it dries and falls off.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
And you are often left, if you survive, if you are lucky enough to survive, left with hideous scars.
Oh, thank God.
How do you guys deal with pus? Are you like... Can you handle pus?
What do you mean, how do we deal with it?
Like, no, but like... You
I put, I get a
no,
newspaper
no, no,
and a
no.
glass and I take it outside. I never kill pus. I never kill pus.
I just...
Let me put that on the record.
I do that humanely.
Would
no,
a Nazi
I mean, like,
not do that? That's right. What? No, what do you mean about pus?
Like, are you a bit squeamish with pus or are you...
I'm squeamish with everything.
I love it.
You love pus. How can you... Is it just your own pus or?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I enjoy.
I can't say I've dealt with other people's pus much.
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah. In privacy of your own home.
Privacy of your own pus.
Yeah, maybe, you know, but.
But you, nothing
and
you'd admit
it's,
to.
It's never been.
Well, maybe sure, a loved one or someone you want to get close to. And,
what's this accent you're doing?
I'm not sure.
I'm the pus king.
I've come from old England.
I know I've had like cuts or infections that have pussed a little bit, and it's kind of like, oh, it's so cool. It's gross.
That's interesting.
Great. So you'd love smallpox because there's a lot of pus involved.
I fucking love smallpox.
You know what's happened?
I'm so sad it's eradicated.
Early on in this episode, I reckon a lot of people have already stopped listening. Don't you reckon? I don't know if I'd listen on from here.
Yeah, should I have
because
maybe
of the...
not brought up pus in my and it's
because
fun.
Of the pus. You think that's what's stopping people?
Yeah. I mean, and white supremacy.
And your big
talk.
Dick.
Yeah, we've all ruined the podcast in one way or another.
Yeah. At least I'm just being honest, you know? I'm just being honest with our listeners. Pus. That's all I can do for them is be myself.
How do you spell a word like pus?
P?
Specifically, the word pus.
P-U-S-S.
Isn't that puss?
It's actually, no, it's one
S.
Is
it one
Jess.
S?
It's one S for pus.
Is
Jess?
It? No, it's
Jess,
not.
Jess, I think when you were saying you love pus, what you were trying to say... Was it you love puss?
Matt, you ruined the episode again.
Is it one S? Oh, no, yeah, it is one S for puss. Sorry, of course it is.
Puss. P-U-S.
All right, so you're at the stage where you've got a lot of scabs and stuff coming up.
You've got a lot of puss.
Then the disease can go one of four ways. Goes one of four ways. It can develop into different types of smallpox. You get ordinary smallpox, modified smallpox, malignant smallpox, or hemorrhagic smallpox.
Oh.
Pick one. What would you pick?
Ordinary.
Okay. Ordinary for Jess?
What do we have?
Ordinary.
I forget what malignant means. I don't see the good or... It means the cancer's bad or fine.
Hemorrhagic.
I'm going to go... Hemorrhagic makes me feel like hemorrhoids, right?
Or hemorrhaging.
Which means... like out the butt, right? So I'm thinking... Oh, this episode's fucked.
It is. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to go with... Malignant.
Well, ordinary smallpox, which Jess has picked, is the most common and killed 30% of people.
Oh.
Modified smallpox, if you picked that was rarely, if ever, fatal. So that's the one that you
I
wanted.
I forgot modified.
Fuck.
Can I take modified?
Yeah, I want to change.
I thought, because that sounded like I could have been an X-Man or something.
Malignant and hemorrhagic were rare, but nearly always fatal.
Okay, so malignant is the opposite of what I was hoping.
So we should have gone for modified.
Modified's
the one. If you were the lucky survivor, I've got
that's
here.
It's like you've put a spoiler on it.
I
and,
was just
lowered
thinking
it
that.
To the ground.
But then it
Mag
usually
wheels.
Means that your insurance will be more.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
too.
You've modified your car. So
yeah.
It's like, well, it sounds like it should be a negative thing if it's modified.
Cops are always putting them canaries on them.
Yeah. Ordinary? What's wrong with ordinary? Everybody's ordinary and we're all alive.
When
did
this become the Fast and the Furious podcast?
I got some friends who used to drive cars when we were 18.
And well, yeah. Still do now?
No braggers.
Hey, Matt.
As adults.
Hey, Matt, you know how I got here tonight?
Fuck off.
Drove my car.
Oh, bloody hell, can I get a ride?
Where'd you get that? You steal it?
No. Bought it off a nice lady in Brighton one time.
Is that true?
6 years ago.
Oh, nice one. Shout out to that lady.
Crashed it.
Did you also buy her outfit?
Okay, all right. It's a bit chilly today and I'm wearing a vest, a little puffer vest, and Matt said I look like an eastern suburbs mum who's picking the kids up.
Well,
he's correct.
Yeah, you do look like that.
But I'm comfy as shit. I'm wearing a doona. It's the best.
So I've mentioned the death rate. I've mentioned the scars. I've mentioned the pus. But did I mention the blindness?
The blindness?
That's right. If you were lucky to survive, in the 18th century, it was responsible for 1/3 of all blindness in Europe.
1/3of blindness?
So if you were blind, 1 in 3 of those people is because they survived smallpox.
That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So like you survive it and you're probably still blind.
Yeah, scarred and blind. So it's
wow.
I just wanted to put into perspective how bad it was.
Yeah.
How bad this disease was.
Well, none of us at any stage. Matt, I'm going to speak for you for a moment if that's okay.
Yeah, that's...
Neither of us thought, this seems fun, at any point, did we, Matt?
No, you really probably didn't need to take the fun out of it.
You didn't need to. We were having fun.
And so it was only eradicated in 1979. I wonder, like, how many people did it take out at the peak?
Well, this is going to be a fun fact at the end. No, it wasn't going to be a fun fact.
So you did it again.
You did a question. In the 20th century alone, so a century that we were all alive in, and most of our listeners would probably have at least lived a few years in, it killed between 500 and 600 million people.
Holy shit.
In a century that we were alive in.
500?
And between 500 and 600.
100 million people across the world.
That's
a lot. But I'm going to tell you how we got rid of this horrible
disease.
Australia's
like 22 million.
It's similar to our download numbers.
Yeah. Between 500 and 600 million. A week. No, a century.
Oh, yeah. I reckon we could do that a century.
Yeah, we kept this going for 100 years. Now, there were some early forms of vaccination that people undertook to prevent the terrifying disease. So people were looking for a cure for forever because, you know, the pox would come to town and it would be awful.
The pox would come to town. Much like Santa Claus.
That's right.
It comes around.
Just
it's like,
as terrifying to children.
Oh my God, the pox is here. I can't believe it's that time of year again.
Oh my God, I was going to kiss Mum under the mistletoe.
And then she'll pass it on to Dad and we'll all die.
We'll all die.
All go blind. Best case scenario.
Let's roll the dice. Now, the earliest recorded example of preventing smallpox was in 1022 in China. A Buddhist nun would get smallpox scabs, grind them up, and then blow them into the nose of people she wanted to inoculate. The right nostril was used for boys and the left for girls.
Okay, well that... What's the nostril thing got to do with it?
That's part of the nun thing.
Wait, I look...
It had religious...
It's just the nun thing.
It's the nun thing around these parts.
I need you to say all of that again.
You missed all of that?
Well, I heard it, but I don't know if I understood.
Okay, so she gets scabs from someone who'd survived smallpox, grind it up into dust, and then
put
it in a pipe and then blow it into your nose. And that sounds weird, but the nun, when she did this correctly, she noticed that if you got smallpox and survived, you never got it again. So you were immune for life, essentially. So by blowing the scabs of someone into a healthy person's nose, the person had more protection and they were less likely to get smallpox, so it actually worked.
I think I'd actually prefer the needle to the arm rather than some dust
off the
scab
nose.
Up my nose.
I reckon just kill me.
Is that an option?
Yeah, is that a chance? Is that a choice?
If you want.
Why are you going straight to that option?
I'm just not enjoying this podcast.
Okay.
Now, by the 1700s, we cut 7 centuries forward, people had noticed that the immunity that survivors had and a preventative measure called variolation was quite common. Variolation.
Variolation.
Doctors, you're not going to like this, Matt, cutting off infected people's scabs and then precisely cutting a healthy person 4 or 5 times on the arm and then putting the scab inside the wound and then bandaging it up. So you'd get a little bit sick. You'd get a little bit sick. But you would be immune to the proper disease for life. So
it's like an early immunization.
Yeah, so this is like the first type of immunization. That's right.
Wow.
And it did the job.
That's so gross, though. All right, I'd take the dust up the nose then.
Yeah, doctor, would you take that? All right.
Over them, like, cutting me and inserting somebody else's scab into my arm.
I'd shelve it, I reckon.
But do you still get the nun to blow it up then? I'm not cured yet.
No, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, take this seriously.
The right hole for boys, the left goal for girls.
Wait, does that mean you've got...
Moving on. Doctors sought to monopolise this variolation simple treatment by convincing the public that the procedure could only be done by a trained professional. Because really, they're just taking a scab, cut you open and put it in there. But they wanted to make money off it. So the procedure was preceded by severe bloodletting. You know, they drain your blood.
Oh.
In order to purify the blood and prevent a fever. So that's absolute bullshit. But they just did that to try and make you think, oh, I won't do this myself. I'll go and pay the doctor for this extra procedure.
Oh, that's yuck.
Yeah. The main forerunners of this English variolation movement were the Suttons, a family of physicians, the Suttons, who would revolutionise the practice of variolation. The patriarch, Robert Sutton, he was a surgeon from Suffolk, who began experimenting with the practice of variolation. He kept his method a secret and only passed it down to his three sons. The mystique and effectiveness behind his new method helped promote the business, which soon became wildly successful. So they had a really high success rate, so people started going to their families to do it.
Wow.
They established a network of variolation houses and clinics and offered franchises to other variolators for a share of the profits if they signed a contract saying that they wouldn't say how what the family's secret method was.
Wow.
What was their secret method?
The success of their method lay in a shallow scratch. Careful selection of only mildly affected donors and no bleeding or extreme purging. So they noticed that if you make people bleed, it doesn't help them survive.
Interesting.
That was their secret method.
Interesting. Okay. Don't make them bleed.
Don't make them bleed. Okay. Sorry. Don't cut them open for no reason.
I'm no doctor, but that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. Sign me up.
I like any situation where I'm not bleeding. Personally.
It's hard to think of a situation where I'm enjoying bleeding. Savenya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
By the end of the 18th century, variolation had gained widespread global respect and was thought to be one of the greatest medical successes of all time. So what you think is a horrible thing that you would rather die than do, Matt, other people were like, thank you, God, for letting us save people.
Yeah, Matt.
Quote.
Old big dick Stewart over here.
But, Matt, the problem with variolation, it had a big catch, and that is that it was not 100% safe.
Oh.
People could develop full-blown smallpox. And between 1% and 2% of people would get it and die.
that percentage is still a lot lower.
Still a lot lesser than 30%, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you wouldn't definitely get, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's 30% if you get smallpox, which you are likely to because it's so widespread.
Yeah.
So it's hard to choose. Would you roll the dice, go for this 1-2% chance, or risk getting it and then having the 30% chance, less the scarring and blindness? Who knows? Because there's always a risk of the... also, there was also a risk of the variolation starting an epidemic in the town. So if one person got full-blown smallpox, then they could give it to everyone in the town. So a little bit dodgy.
It's very risky.
Then we enter a very famous man named Edward Jenner.
We enter him? Jeez Louise.
One at a time, Matt goes last.
It's like Magic School Bus. The bus gets real tiny and we go up his butt.
I love that.
Oh.
Edward...
I did not get that reference. Magic School Bus.
I think it's because it was more our age.
It gets tiny and goes up the butt. Oh, it's like a...
Yeah, the preferred entry method of the Magic School Bus.
School book or a cartoon show?
Both.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe I do know it.
Yeah. There's
and like... it's like a Magic School Bus?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Edward Anthony Jenner was born on 17th of May, 1749 in Gloucestershire. He was the 8th of 9 children to a vicar. During his school years, he himself was variolated for smallpox, which had a lifelong effect upon his general health. So he had ongoing sickness because of it.
Oh no.
In 1770, Jenner became an apprentice in surgery and anatomy. 3 years later, he became a... I love that. It's 3 years later, he became a successful family doctor and surgeon, practicing on dedicated premises at Berkeley. Jenner met his wife when he was experimenting with balloons.
Does that sound like you guys, like she walked in on him
and he was
putting them in his butt?
Yeah. He was trying to have sex with her.
Yeah.
Just fucking knock.
I slipped.
Shit, it popped.
Oh.
No, the story goes that his balloon descended into Kingscote Park, Gloucestershire, owned by Anthony Kingscote, one of whose daughters was Catherine, his future wife.
Oh, so his balloon floated in and
it
and
all
they
sounds
fell
like euphemisms,
love.
Doesn't it? It does.
You know how people get named after their surname comes from their job? What did Kingscote do? Just got on the king's back and kept him warm.
Yeah. The human coat. Before the invention of wool.
And yeah, no, it's what they used to call a big spoon.
I'm King's Coat.
Shotgun King's Coat.
I gotta be king.
I've gotta be king. This sucks.
I hate being king.
I much prefer to be the coat.
I like being the coat because then my arm goes dead.
Oh, look, a balloon.
See, I remember what it's like to have somebody that spoons you.
Oh my god. God, you have a great memory though. If it goes back that far.
It's so long ago.
Oh my god, I was kidding. At the time of Jenner's time, Balloon Man's time, let's go back to Balloon Man.
Balloon fucking man, yep.
At the time, it was a common observation that milkmaids were generally immune to smallpox.
Ooh.
No one really knew exactly why. They just never seemed to get smallpox.
The little hats and the sexy maid outfits That's they right. wore.
That wards off any pox, am I right? Boys. Jenner hypothesized that cows suffered from a disease called cowpox, which is very similar to smallpox, but a lot less deadly. So humans can get it, but
now nearly every farmyard animal has a pox. Pig pox.
Pig pox. Chicken. Oh, yeah.
What else have farmyard animals? Goose pox. End of list.
See rest of list. So Jenner noticed that he thinks that cowpox is similar to smallpox. He postulated, love that word, that the pus in the blisters that milkmaids received
He postulated
that the pus in the blisters that milkmaids received from cowpox protected them from smallpox. So they would milk the cows and then they would get this cowpox in their hands.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's Wash all, your hands, you dirty bitches.
Dirty cow milkers.
Why did I say that?
I don't know.
It's very funny, though.
On the 14th of May, 1796, Jenner tested his hypothesis by inoculating...
His hypoxithus.
By inoculating James Phipps, an 8-year-old boy who was the son of Jenner's gardener. Do you miss the good old days where you just test shit on a kid?
Yeah. Especially not your kid.
Yeah.
Get the gardener's kid.
Hey, I employ your dad. I own you. Let me come here. Let me put some pox in your arm.
Come here, kid.
So he scraped pus from the cowpox blisters on the hand of Sarah Nelms, a milkmaid who'd caught cowpox from a cow called Blossom.
Oh, Blossom. Mm. More like Poxum, am I right?
I think you are.
Nah, good on you, Blossom. You're doing your best.
You can tell the difference between the poxes, obviously. The cowpox probably looks a little different.
Only if you observe very close to that. People didn't know early on that chickenpox and smallpox were different until people started looking really closely that they're... The sores look a little bit different.
Yeah, the chicken pox look like small roosters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, that's where it gets its name from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where... Oh, of course, okay. A rooster. Yeah, that makes sense.
A rooster being a male chicken.
No, right, sorry. Okay.
Sorry, duck. Male duck.
If you tape two ducks together, it looks like a chicken.
What do you want if you... What do you do if you want a duck?
Well, you get a couple of cats and chuck them in a bag.
You shave them.
Yeah. Chuck it over your shoulder. It's lunch and dinner, isn't it? Sorry, what was the question?
I'm so confused. I know.
We're fucking up a Simpsons quote.
No, yeah, it's like, cows don't look like cows on film. You got to paint a horse. What do you do if you want a horse? Usually tape a bunch of cats together.
Very good.
So good.
So good.
Jenna inoculated Phipps, the 8-year-old boy, in both arms that day. So we went a little variolation crazy.
And then he turned into Spider-Man.
Well, subsequently, he got a fever and some uneasiness, quote, but no full-blown infection.
Hello.
Full-blown.
Later, he injected 8-year-old boy with variolous material.
A different 8-year-old boy?
No, same boy.
You've forgotten his name, you just call him 8-year-old boy.
James Phipps.
Phipps.
This time he did the cut thing with proper smallpox in it, and no disease followed.
Hello.
The boy was later challenged with other variolous material and again showed no signs of infection. AKA, he kept putting shit in the kid's arm and he didn't get sick.
Yeah, and he remained Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right. He kept him going. He couldn't risk losing his powers. So Jenna was like, hey guys, I found a much less dangerous way of inoculating people. Also, I invented the term vaccination.
Ooh.
Cool guy. Which comes from the word for cow. Vaccination.
What? Cool.
Yeah.
What's the word for cow?
Oh, I know that in Spanish, vaca is cow.
Okay.
But so I assume that other languages are similar to that. But that I just read that. He... coined the term vaccination.
You're a vucka fucker.
Jenna successfully tested his theory on 23 other subjects. I'm not sure how many of them were 8-year-old boys, but he kept testing
probably
it.
Probably a few.
He continued his research and reported it to the Royal Society, which did not publish the initial paper. After revisions and further investigations, he kept publishing his findings on the 23 cases.
Just on blogs, mostly.
Yes, he was blogging. Not getting enough cred. Because
zines.
Insta.
Self-publish.
Just tweets. Just really short. Like, just a whole bunch of tweets because it's only...
Yeah. Hey, guys, I have discovered 1 of 7. A disease called 3 of 6. The medical establishment were cautious about publishing that there was a miracle prevention because, you know, obviously, if they said that and then it turned out to be wrong and people started dying, that would be pretty bad. So it took them a long time before that they published his findings. The news did spread around Europe, like, hey guys, there's this cure, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't until 1840, 44 years later, that vaccination was accepted by the British government, who then decided to ban variolation, the one where you cut the arm open.
Yeah.
And the use of smallpox... Sorry. And they provided vaccination using cowpox free of charge.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But that was after Jenna died, though.
So like Obamacare sort of thing.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was their legacy. Where it came
from? Yeah, right.
But that was after Jenna had died. In his lifetime, he was supported by his colleagues and the king in petitioning Parliament. So he kept trying to get this cure out there. He was given £10,000 for his work on vaccination. Bit of a reward.
Wow.
He was given another £20,000 a few years later. And in 1821, later in life, he was appointed physician extraordinary to King George IV.
Whoa.
That sounds good.
Does sound good, doesn't it?
It sounds like the kind of gig that would have a lot of pus, but a lot of puss too.
All the king's puss.
I hate myself for that. I really do.
Do you remember James?
One of my favourite moments of the podcast so far.
Wow. Only got to episode 50 before I fucking made you smile, you piece of shit.
I meant this episode, dickhead.
Not in front of the children.
No, we're all good mates.
You're telling Dave that.
Yeah. It's okay, Dave. It's a hey, hey.
Hey, we're all good mates.
It's okay. No, Jesse and Maddie love each other. See? See? Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. See? Friends.
Hold my hand, dog.
Yeah, big dog.
Remember our little 8-year-old boy, James Phipps?
Do I ever?
Phippsy.
Later in life, Jenna, when he got rich, gave him his family a free lease on a cottage as a way to say thank you.
Oh, wow.
So he got something for being like a...
Not
a
the superhero. Cottage. Just a...
No,
just
a free lease.
To live there.
Hey, but when you die, I fucking want that back.
Yeah.
Wow. That's nice.
That is...
But superpowers okay. And free
and
rent.
Free rent. But our story does not finish there.
No.
And then as soon as he was in the house, he just started putting more shit in him.
Yeah. He'd wake up and he's like leaning
get,
over
him. Oh, bloody hell.
Not again. Get out of it.
That shit out
Don't
of me.
Touch my
you?
Butt.
Oh, hang on. Hang on.
There's that Buddhist nun. He's like... but obviously smallpox is around for another 200 years, so it takes a few more people to get rid of this deadly disease. So suddenly there's this safer way of inoculating people, but you got to get this vaccination out there. Millions of people are still getting infected every year, and it's going to be nearly 200 years before it's fully eradicated.
Not that they know that at the bloody time. Some of the hard people. Matt.
God, you don't want to see me. Huh?
God, it's big.
I can't get out of the room. Yeah. Get out the door.
It is a burden.
Some of the hard-working people were part members of the Spanish Bulmers expedition.
Bulmers?
Bulmers.
Oh.
The Bulmers.
I was like, cider? Now I'm listening.
In response to a large outbreak of smallpox in the Spanish colonies, like the South American places that they were conquering, like I said before, King Charles IV appointed Francisco Xavier de Balmas.
He gets heaps of puss.
De Balmas.
Francisco.
That's a good name.
Francisco Xavier de Balmas. He was appointed to lead an expedition that would introduce Jenner's vaccine to these colonies. So Spain conquered most of South America, which is why the majority of countries there speak Spanish modern day. King Charles IV of Spain became passionate about protecting against smallpox as he himself, as most of Europe, had been personally affected by the virus. His brother, his sister-in-law, the Portuguese queen had all succumbed to smallpox, and the king's daughter... and another princess were all infected with the smallpox virus but survived. So they'd gotten really sick but survived. So he was like, I want to get rid of this thing. How can I get the inoculation and the vaccination over to South America? The unaffected members of the royal family used the old variolation method, but they were left really badly scarred. So he was like, I don't want to do that to my people.
Yeah, but chicks dig scars. Scars are cool. Right,
really?
Guys?
In all contexts?
Yes.
Alright, pass me the scalpel, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to carve fuck you, Jess, into my chest and see how much you like this one.
Hey, I can ignore the fuck you bit. And yeah. Like,
oh, Jess, a tribute.
You got my name on there.
Oh.
That's nice.
Someone sent the king Jenner's book about his new discovery, and he was like, hey, that sounds really good. I want to send that across Spain.
God, back before bloody iBooks, you know? We could just download them.
Oh. Imagine how much easier it would have been.
Jeez Louise. Good grief.
The king started getting pleas from his South American colony saying, hey, we're suffering epidemics. Can you do something about it? So he called a meeting with Joseph Flores, the king's court physician, who was consulted because he was originally a Mexican guy. And Dr. Flores told the king, how about we send a load of Spanish ships carrying the vaccine to the New World? So that sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
A good plan.
Maria Pita, P-I-T-A, like pita bread, was selected for the expedition. That's the name of the ship. And it was named after...
Wait, the ship is called the expedition?
No, it's called Maria Pita. The Maria Pita.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought Maria Pita was a person.
No, that's the ship.
Maria Pita is a ship.
And then it's called the Balmas Expedition because it's named after Francisco.
I thought they called the ship the expedition. And I was like, well, that's silly. That's going to be confusing. But now, Maria Peter is a better name.
But is that just as silly or possibly more silly?
No, that's great. I like ships with good names.
You're so weird in that way.
I was just thinking, you know, like, unpopular opinion. Yeah, geez, but I like it.
What would you name your ship?
The Matt Stewart.
Oh.
SSB. He's a big shithead.
Oh. Okay. The old pull back and reveal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that what they call what you just did there?
Let's say
yes.
The SS Big Dick.
SS Big Dick. What would you call your ship? Ship. It's not like a yacht. It's a ship.
Oh, so it's big.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Or a yacht. What would you name a boat?
That's
what
you'd call it, my dick.
Oh, yuck. It's not funny when you do it.
Yeah, come on, man. Stop boasting, all right? Make some of us feel a little inadequate.
Stop boating. Yeah, almost made sense.
Yeah. Nearly contextually
stop
there.
Stop boating.
But guys, there's one small problem.
Dave, what was your ship called? Don't fucking just fob us off.
My ship is called, but guys, there's one small problem.
I like it.
And that problem is...
That iceberg.
Yeah. No, you get on board and there's no steering wheel. It's it's very, very inconvenient.
It's not a small problem, I feel. I feel like that's kind of important.
I just don't want to make a scene. I didn't want to tell anyone. And then we're halfway across the Atlantic Ocean and I'm like, yeah, I don't have a wheel.
Yeah, we're not turning.
We're straight lines. Good.
Good. Or if the water changes direction a little bit, that's the way we go.
If anything, I'm doing God's work.
My boat's called God's Work.
God's Work. God's Work.
Yeah. God's Work is floating aimlessly, apparently. And that's what I'm doing. It's what he wanted.
It's what he wanted for all of us.
Tell us what you'd name your ship.
Oh, are you talking to the listeners?
Yeah.
Sorry, because you made eye contact with me. Oh. And I'm like, I just did. It's called God's Work, but guys, there's one small problem.
I'm so sorry I made eye contact with you during the recording of our podcast. I will continue to stare at
never
the ceiling.
Never do it again. Put your sunglasses back on. Roy Orbison style.
I was going to say Ray Charles.
Oh. I'm going to call my ship SS hashtag keen for pain.
Oh, that is good. Tribute.
That's nice. Mine will be hashtag... No hashtag required. Mine will be poo go on.
Oh, yes.
Tribute to Matt Stewart.
Fuck.
Yeah. Who was it recently?
Dedicated.
Their favourite hashtag was... Hashtag shut up, I can do this, because I couldn't figure it out one day.
Shut up, I can do this. But I fear we have to talk more about smallpox.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Boats are more fun.
The problem was, how do you get the vaccine all the way from Spain to the New World? Because boat trips at that time would take several months. And remember, at this time, the way to get the vaccine from someone was to get someone with cowpox who was recovering, and you get a bit of their scabs. But by the time they get to Mexico or Colombia on the other side of the world, anyone with cowpox would have well and truly recovered, right? So it was decided they would get some orphans and make them carry the virus. The 22 orphan children were...
In a backpack.
Yeah. In little bum bags.
Why did you choose orphans? They just look so cute. There's some red ones and some green ones. I mean the bum bags, not the kids.
Little green children of Woolpit.
Yeah.
They all tie together. I love that. The 22 orphan children were all between the ages of 8 and 10, had never been infected with smallpox or had not been previously vaccinated before. The plan to carry the vaccine... The plan to carry the vaccine consisted of the passage of the fluid from one child to another. So you'd get sick, Jess, and as you start to recover, we'd get a bit of yours and then give it to Matt. And then as Matt started to recover, you'd give it to me. And this went down the line so that they kept the virus alive in different kids.
But like the kids were all okay.
Yeah, it's fine. They didn't die. Yeah.
Okay.
Why weren't they dying?
Oh, I'm not saying okay. Like that's all right then. But I mean, yuck.
So fucked.
Yeah.
Why weren't the kids dying?
Oh, because it's cowpox is actually not very deadly.
Oh, they've got cowpox.
They've got cowpox, yeah. Gotcha. But that's not. They don't have that in Colombia and Mexico at the time. Right. So they have to try and bring it over there
to then immunize them.
They were placed under the supervision and care of a director of a local orphanage.
Aww.
She brought her son along too, so he could contribute to the mission.
Oh, good job!
So she sacrificed her son.
But what's so weird is imagine being in that board meeting.
Yeah.
All right, I've got an idea.
I've got it. 22 orphans.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's so brutal.
I love the idea that that's their answer to everything.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we stop the river from flooding every year? 22 orphans. Give me 22 orphans, I can solve any problem.
The building of that church is taking a while, isn't it? How do we speed that up? 22 orphans.
My God. Barmus, you've done it again.
What should we name that that trendy cafe down the street? 22 Orphans. I love it.
That's a good name for a ship too. The 22. SS 22 Orphans.
Oh, that's nice. That's poetic.
I would like to say the kids in Balmus's own recordings of the expedition, he expressed on many occasions his gratitude for the tender care of the orphanage director.
His recordings are mostly him playing the guitar.
Yeah, the it's complete
like his new
the complete recordings of Xavier de Balmus.
They say Teller was a good
girl. Never want to be like come. Why did you go to Jack Johnson?
I don't know.
He wouldn't do that to orphans.
I thought it was. I just thought. Who's someone silly? I thought that was the silliest. That was the silliest thing I could think of.
It was Jack Johnson. It was the silliest thing you could think of. You're a comedian and the silliest thing you could think of.
I'd love to see your improvisation troupe. Give me a person. Jack Johnson. All right, I need a location. Jack Johnson film clip.
Ben Stiller on the beach.
Seriously. Well,
I think... Like, because you, I mean, what would, tell me, sorry, I know you're very good at comedy, and obviously you want to teach me a little lesson here. What would you have said?
Peter
that
Coombe.
Is funny? Well, there you go. You've gone for too much.
No such thing.
You've gone for
Peter
too
Coombe
much.
Is very funny, but...
And silly. Jack Johnson is a very popular
But Jack Johnson's more recognisable.
Yeah.
So you're on board with calling Jack Johnson silly.
It was, in this context, very funny. I reckon there's people chuckling away. Big time at home and on the train.
Yeah, chuckling at you, mate. Chuckling at you.
Let us know what you thought of the Jack Johnson reference.
To be honest, I missed everything that came before it, but I heard guitar.
I said in Balmus's recording, so his aka his diary, and just said, "Oh, mostly guitar recording."
It was quite funny. It was a pretty good.
Oh no,
good joke.
So you'd already made a joke.
Yeah, and then you fucked it by making a reference to a very successful pop artist.
I mean,
pop folk,
but
well,
still
folk.
Very like just very funny. Jack Johnson.
Agree to disagree.
They said Teller was a good girl, never gonna win.
It actually makes sense. Maria Peter Pat is on the window. Maria Peter. The group, back to Balmus. They divided into two groups and then divided again. So now there's four different expeditions so they can cover more territory. They hit up what is now Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Cuba, and then over to the Philippines. The territory covered by the expedition in the Americas and Asia was not only vast but also brutally harsh with dense jungle mountains and uncharted rivers. And they're taking these... orphans everywhere they go. It was very hard going, and all up the journey took 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Everywhere they stopped, de Balmus set up local vaccination boards that continued to produce cowpox vaccines. So once they, you know, get the cowpox in that area, then they can keep it going themselves rather than having to keep the orphan there.
They loved it.
Well, the orphans are fucking teenagers now.
Yeah. But they, most of them were resettled in Mexico and lived their lives there.
Wow. Okay. I was going to be like, with their families?
Nope. No.
That's the point.
They be orphan.
Oh, no. Did you say they be orphan?
They be orphan.
Oh, David.
They kept local records of who was vaccinated and then tried to promote...
Any of those local records by Jack Johnson?
They say Taylor was a good girl.
Can we think of any other Jack Johnson song?
I'm trying to.
Upside down. I like Jack Johnson's own lots of songs.
Oh, no wonder
Make
you got so
banana
defensive.
Pancakes, pretend
yeah.
like it's
you're like, the one,
now.
The singer I love, don't you tell me they're funny.
Exactly.
You know who's funnier than Jack Johnson? Pavarotti.
That's funny.
He's just a fat guy.
That is very funny.
They say Pavarotti pit patters on the window. You look outside. Pavarotti. What are we talking about?
This is so, such a delirious potty.
So good.
Oh. Pavarotti, is that you?
Pav?
Roddy?
Pavarotti, pitter patter. Is that, yeah, that's good. Peter that sounds nice. Pavarotti, pitter patter's
on the window.
Oh,
that is nice. I think that is ripe for a Weird Al Yankovic version.
Let's tweet.
You heard it here first.
Let's all tweet Weird Al, guys. We've got a big.
That is a hot take on an old classic tune. Yeah, it's just ready to go.
You know that song from 2002? And that singer that died probably circa 2002. Oh! Pavarotti, are you okay?
Stop pitter-pattering on my window.
I'm trying to sleep. All right, final bit of De Balmas. De Balmas returned to Spain in July 1806 and presented his activity reports to the Council of the Indies, which had been set up. But a few years after the expedition, De Balmas died practically neglected and forgotten.
Much like the orphans he stole.
Yes, but he... All in all, over 100,000 people were inoculated by his group, and then that spread. So that was a big part.
That's amazing.
Then we get to nearly to the 20th century. In the United States, first in Massachusetts, then other states, they required smallpox vaccinations. It was passed as a government law.
Wow.
And although some dislike these measures, as they still do now with vaccination and stuff, coordinated efforts against smallpox went on, and the disease continued to get less and less common in... developed or developing countries. And by 1897, smallpox had largely been eliminated from the United States. In Northern Europe, a number of countries had eliminated smallpox by 1900 by inoculating people. And by 1914, same year the First World War broke out, the incidence in most industrialized countries had decreased to comparatively low levels, so it wasn't a common thing anymore. Australia and New Zealand are two notable exceptions. Neither experienced endemic smallpox. Like I said, it never was like a common thing here. And we never had to vaccinate widely because we were protected by distance and strong quarantine.
Yeah, finally, being really fucking far away from everyone finally pays off.
But Jess, something about is going to have to change here because this century that's about to start, we lose 500 to 600 million people, right?
That was in Europe. No, sorry, that is across the world, mostly in poorer countries.
Yeah, no, I wasn't suggesting that was in Australia. Someone's got to change. Someone is about to go wrong in this next century.
Oh, right. Well, so smallpox was hardly over during the 20th century because the wealthier, the industrialized countries were getting rid of it. But across the world, in many places in Africa and Asia particularly, it was still very common. Even by the early 1950s, only 20 years before they got rid of it, an estimated 50 million cases of smallpox occurred around the world every year.
Wow.
And as recently as 1967, so just about 10 years before they got rid of it, the World Health Organization estimated that 15 million people contracted the disease and 2 million died that year.
Wow.
So it was really, really bad. But a major contribution to smallpox vaccination was made in the 1960s by Benjamin Rubin.
Button. Oh.
Benjamin Button, that's right.
Yes.
An American microbiologist, based on initial tests with textile needles with the eyes cut halfway out, he developed what is called bifurcated needle. It's like a sharpened two-prong fork, so it could hold one dose of freeze-dried vaccine and something else as well. I don't know what the other thing is, but it's like...
His semen.
easy to use with minimum training. It was cheap to produce. It was only $5 for 1,000 doses of this stuff. It used four times less vaccine than other methods and was reusable after people flame sterilized the needle. So you run a flame over it, then it wouldn't spread disease.
Wow.
It was used globally in the World Health Organization smallpox eradication program in the late 60s. And it was estimated that 200 million vaccinations per year occurred during the last years of the vaccine.
Wow.
So they actually consciously decided we want to get rid of this disease. It wasn't like we want to control it. It was like this is the one we're going to get rid of.
Wow.
So wipe it out.
They should do that with other things too.
Yeah, I reckon they should.
Yeah, they totally should.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization, they traveled to wherever there were outbreaks. With the goal of trying to get rid of the disease, so everywhere it was. But the last case occurred in the Americas in 1971 in Brazil, Asia in 1972 in Indonesia, and Indian subcontinent in Bangladesh in 1975. After 2 years of intensive searches, what proved to be the last endemic case anywhere in the world was in Somalia in October 1977.
Wow.
Australian microbiologist Frank Fenner played a key role in verifying eradication and travelled to the Horn of Africa, which is where Somalia is, the last place where the disease was still recurring. And it was very difficult because it was very war-torn at the time.
Anya, Frank.
Hey. Anya, Frank, what a guy.
Anya.
And then...
Anya.
And their last case was 1977, but they wanted to play it cool. So it wasn't until 1979. They were like, guys, we did it. It's gone. It's gone.
They're trying to play it cool.
But the last person to die from smallpox was in England in 1978.
Oh.
A medical photographer at the University of Birmingham, Janet Parker, was accidentally exposed to a strain of smallpox virus that had been grown at a research laboratory on the floor below her workplace. It got through the ducting.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, wow.
And the virus just spread through, and then she contracted it and within a couple of weeks died. The outbreak resulted in 260 people being immediately quarantined. So, like,
wow.
Her family, anyone that had any contact with her or anyone from that uni was put in like a 2-week quarantine. Like, it was like legal, you were legally required to stay in your house. And of those potentially infected, only her mother contracted the disease, but she survived. The ward at the hospital where Janet Parker had died was sealed off for 5 years after her death, just because they were really worried about it. And all the furniture and equipment inside was left untouched. Like, the whole...
Wow. 5 years.
The whole ward.
I would have burned it
just
down.
The furniture, set fire to that. Yeah. And then just give the ward a really good clean.
Like a really good scrub. Get just a bit of an Ajax.
Bit of, yeah, easy off, bam, I reckon.
Bam! And the pox is gone.
I wish I was good at Photoshop so I could make that on a bottle.
Yeah, smallpox, no troubles.
That's great. It'll get rid of kitchen grease. Grime. Pox.
Pox. Of all kinds.
Shower scum.
So it's gone in the wild, so to speak. But stocks of smallpox still exist to this day in laboratories around the world.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, why?
So we haven't really eradicated them, have we?
And the World Health Organization, they first recommended destruction of the virus worldwide in 1986. And they actually set a date in December 1993, but this was postponed to 1999.
Oh.
And, of course, due to resistance from the US and Russia, who were both like, I'll give it up if you give it up. In 2002, the World Health Assembly agreed to permit the temporary retention of the virus stocks for specific research purposes, quote-unquote.
As in for bloody chemical warfare.
Yeah.
Well, some scientists have argued that stocks may be useful in developing new vaccines, antiviral drugs, and doing tests. And if it ever did get out, then you... But in 2010, a review by a team of public health experts appointed by the World Health Organization, so people that know what they're talking about, concluded that it was not essential for the health of the public to keep it together, that they could still make vaccine without having all this extra...
Yeah.
Potentially...
So get rid of
chemical
it.
Chemical weapons that could fall into the wrong people's hands.
Jesus. That's fascinating.
In 2004, smallpox scabs were found inside an envelope in a book of Civil War medicine in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
That's disgusting.
The envelope was labeled as containing scabs from vaccination and gave scientists at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention an opportunity to study the history of smallpox vaccination in the US. But how fucking gross would that be?
At least the envelope was like clearly labeled and it wasn't like Janet. You know, and somebody called Janet finds it because she thinks her crush Toby has left it in a book for her, and then she gets smallpox scabs.
And she's
giving me a pile of his scabs.
It's in New Mexico.
I think you want
an American accent. You want?
Alrighty there. Hey there. Okay, sport. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Janet, and yeah, I found this this little envelope of scabs, and it's really touching because I think Scotty, my crush, he's the big man on campus. He's the quarterback, and he's also in
she's chatty, isn't she?
He's in the bloody, what do you call the thing where the thing in the school where they're all in a
fraternity?
He's a frat boy. He's a frat boy.
Do you want me to shut her up?
Please.
Oh, dearie me.
Oh, dear. Ooh, it's windy out today. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I think I got a little cure up the old cloacker there. And
oh, God, she doesn't stop.
Okay, look, I'm going to pop out now.
You're going to pop out?
Y'all have a good day.
That's something I've heard Americans say.
Did they say that?
No.
Pop out.
I don't think so.
What is that, an Australian thing?
I don't think it's an Australian thing.
Matt, you've popped out of your pants.
Yeah, put it away, Matt.
I know it's hard, but come on.
Come on.
All right, I'm going to finish not with fun facts this week.
Well.
But with some famous examples of famous people that have had smallpox.
Okay.
Famous people from history. They include Lakota Chief Sitting Bull, famous Native American. Ramses V of Egypt that I mentioned before. Several Chinese emperors. King Louis XV of France.
Louis.
Who died in 1744 of it. 11-year-old composer, little man named Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart survived smallpox in Austria.
I've never heard of him.
And that outbreak killed the Holy Roman Empress, Maria Josephia, who became the second consecutive wife of the Holy Emperor Joseph II to die of the disease. So he lost two right.
He's like, come on, I can't catch a break with this smallpox bullshit.
Yeah, gotta stop bloody blowing it up their ass.
Oh, is that where it comes from, that expression? Yeah. Blow it up your ass. It's from a Buddhist nun. There you go.
Elizabeth I of England and her cousin, Mary Queen of Scots, survived the disease, both of them.
Good, good.
US presidents George Washington, Andrew Jackson, and Abraham Lincoln all contracted and recovered from the disease. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin fell ill with smallpox at the age of 7. His face was badly scarred by the disease. He later had photographs retouched to make his pockmarks less apparent, which pre-Photoshop is very difficult to do, but he made people do it.
Jeez.
I might do the opposite. Make my chicken pox scars more obvious.
Have you got lots?
Nah.
Show us your scars.
Just a couple.
Is that one there?
What are you pointing at?
Your face.
That's just my face.
Didn't you say it's on your head?
Yeah, it's somewhere. It's above one of my eyebrows. I can't remember which one, though. That one?
Is it that?
Maybe. Yeah, there's like a dent in my head.
Yeah. I've got one there. That's cool.
I've got one there.
Very unnoticeable.
My chest.
Dave, that's your nipple.
Oh. Oh, yeah, sorry. Disregard.
Do you have two of them? You got another one on the other side?
Oh, I thought I was blessed.
No, mate, they're just nipples.
What about this third one in the middle?
Oh, no! Oh, no, Dave, no!
Pull your pants up, little man.
Well, only you could call me little man. I'll take it from you. I will take that from you. Oh, but that is smallpox and how the human race conquered that disease and how I hope that we should get out there and conquer more.
Yeah, I think we should work our way through some other diseases. Do you know what, though? I don't think we don't really move in the medical circles, so I'm sure people are working on it quite a lot, and we just happen to hang out with mostly comedians.
Dumb shit comedians.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Present company excluded.
Who are working on other important discoveries.
World-changing endeavors.
Like how to revolutionise cum jokes. Oh. You know? Different angle. Different angle from the standard.
I heard you had a breakthrough recently, Jess.
Well, I'm not ready to announce anything on here, thank you.
I heard that Melbourne University was going to award you that big grant you applied for.
Okay, well, I mean, you're jumping the gun a little bit there.
I don't want to announce that.
Well, it's a...
Don't want to jeopardise anything between you and the Chancellor.
Exactly. The Counselor. I'm not good at it.
Yep, the funding has been withdrawn. I just got the call. Just got the call. But thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for... letting me talk about some gross stuff again. I enjoy
Loved
that.
Loved it.
Jeez, you do like that, don't you?
You don't, do you?
I don't love it, no.
I think that the body count on Jess and my episodes is well beyond the body count that you have, Matt.
I don't know. Burke and Will's had a few.
Had a
oh, yeah.
Few. Including the horse, his favourite horse.
Oh, no.
Gary? Or
yeah.
It was like Fred
Gary.
Or some weird name like that.
It was Gary.
I've forgotten it.
It was Gary Sweet. He was a big police rat. Police rat. Just little rats in hats. Your little guns. What are you doing there? I combined police rescue and water rats.
Right.
Oh, very good.
I didn't mean to.
He was also an actor on Stingers.
Stinging. He did them all.
Police rats.
He did them all.
Shout out to Gary Sweet if you're listening.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Sure. I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Well, I haven't picked... a topic out of the hat this week, so if anyone wants to get another one in there.
That's right, we are I'm recording this on Monday, and it's coming out on Wednesday, so...
Hooray!
So do you have time to get those suggestions in, and Matt may pull one out?
I think it's pushing very close to Tuesday, Dave.
Not again.
No. Sorry, Dave.
Oh, God, if your dick was smaller, we would have got through this half an hour ago. Look,
it takes so long to get in
any
room.
I actually am starting to feel like I don't want you to do that anymore.
Okay.
You're feeling, that means that I'm going to a lot.
How interesting that you would feel that way.
Well, it was a little bit of fun for a while, but now that it's out of my hands, I'm not enjoying it as much.
There we go.
So now the penis is out of your hands.
Yeah, so if anyone's got any topic ideas, throw them in before I pick out of the hat in the next... this is Wednesday. Yeah, I probably, knowing me, probably won't pull one out until the weekend.
So yeah, you've got the opportunity. Of course, you can get in contact with us on Twitter. We're going well on Twitter lately, picking up a lot of new followers and people tweeting lots of suggestions, which is great. Appreciate that a lot.
Yeah,
we're
awesome.
At Do Go On Pod. And then on our page, there's links to all of our own profiles where we post silly things ourselves. And you can contact us via email. That's your thing, dogoonpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We get a few messages as well, which is cool. Or you can just post on our wall and then...
We put a lot of photos up. It was, we're a few days late, but I feel like it's worth mentioning still that it was podcast day a couple of days ago.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did.
And I sent you guys those fruit baskets.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm assuming my gift is
in the mail. Coming, yeah? In the mail.
Yeah, here it is now. It's, a half full fruit basket. So congratulations.
It still has my card on it.
You just crossed out the word.
Hey, can I just give us that for one sec?
No, you're just crossing out your own name, putting Jess on. You're spelling Jess wrong. It's Jess. Three letters.
Is it really three letters?
I think it's four. I think you'll find your name has four letters.
Does it?
Oh, you're thinking of puss.
No.
You're thinking of...
Think about it.
Three separate letters.
It has three letters and one is repeated.
Right.
Yeah, fuck you, Perkins. Perkins.
Right, we're going to have to go to the car park and sort this out. The only way we know how.
Perkins.
With a fight to the death. But thanks very much for listening. The loser will, of course, be...
replaced next week.
Well, I was going to say they were going to be very elated with smallpox and, they can take their chances. But hopefully we'll all be back here next week. Matt doing a report with one of your suggestions. Get them coming in. But until then, I will say goodbye.
Mate, it's happy 50th, guys.
Love yous. Bye.
Bye. Laters.
I am a Nazi sympathizer.
Bloody hell, I've got a big dick.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.